You are tuned in to Lightworkers Lounge, tales of having a human experience in a spiritual world. We don't have enough men in the spiritual community. There's definitely a rise in masculine energy coming up here in the lightworker, spiritual, esoteric world, right? You've noticed, I'm sure. But I want to see more men. We've talked about this on the show quite a bit. Why are women filling up yoga classes? How come when you walk into a crystal shop, 80 to 90% of the time, it's women that go in there? Do you know any male tarot readers? Do you know any male astrologers? When I took Deborah Silverman's Applied Astrology School, that is one thing I made sure of. When I looked at the list of all the mentors that you can pick to work with every week, I picked the only man. Shout out to my astrology coach, Nick. Because I want to get their perspective on all of this. It's got to be so vastly different from us very intuitive, sensitive women, feminine energy, right? So knowing that, when I was approached by Kevin Carton's manager or agent, to have him on the show, I couldn't say no. I always give the men, I bump up their emails and I really think, oh, what can they bring to the show? What can they bring? Kevin sold me at, and in his spare time, he likes to spend time with his cat, Autumn. I was like, sold. No, but what I love about Kevin is that not only is he a masculine energy in such a feminine world here in spirituality, but he's also more scientific. Yes, he has a podcast that discusses spirituality versus science. I love that great debate because I think you can intermingle both. Before Lightworkers Lounge, when I was a holistic health coach, I used to say Western medicine is wonderful. If you were in an emergency, if you're in a car accident and your leg gets cut off, they are the best, just a gift to earth. But holistic medicine, the energetic, mind, body, soul should be what you tackle first. So I love blending the two. It's fascinating. So when I found out that Kevin went to pharmaceutical school, he was all about the science, the data, the proof, the statistics. Whereas here at Lightworkers Lounge, we are like, screw all that. We're all about the feelings, the repeating numbers, the spirit animals. So I was just big Sagittarius energy, and he is a Sagittarius as well. I was like, bring on the great debate. Let's talk about it. So this was one of my funnest episodes to record to date. You might even hear Kevin at the end or in the middle of the show say, wait, you already pressed record? I like to make these episodes as organic as possible. My goal is always to have you guys feel like you're just kicking it on the couch with us or sitting at a coffee shop with us. And it's just like-minded, open-minded people having a discussion. No hate, no judgment, no triggers involved. Just talking about having a spiritual experience in a human world, having a human experience in a spiritual world. So here is my interview with Kevin, who began his journey when he took a leap of faith to leave pharmacy school to pursue his spiritual purpose. Now, as a spiritual life and business coach, Kevin specializes in empowering people to discover and live their soul's purpose. He has spoken on stage in front of thousands of people, which led him to being described as a young Bob Proctor and the next Tony Robbins. He really is that good. He shares his wisdom and insight on his podcast, Science and Spirituality, with an international community of tens of thousands of like-minded people soaking in his advice. I hope you guys love him. Here's my conversation about science versus spirituality with Kevin.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hey, Kevin. Oh, so nice to virtually meet you.
Yeah, ditto.
You're in Colorado, right?
I am.
Yeah, me too. I'm in Pecosa Springs.
I've never heard of that because I only moved here in Colorado 4 years ago and really stayed around the Denver area.
Oh, you got to come to the southwest corner. Telluride, Pecosa Springs, Durango.
Okay, I've been to Telluride once. But
have you?
Yeah, on a trip with my partner, now fiance. We we just got engaged last weekend, but we went to Moab last summer and we made a loop back through Telluride and stayed there for a night.
Isn't it incredible? New world. You think you're in the Himalayas.
Honestly, yeah. Which I love snowboarding. And so I being in Telluride, I was like, oh my God, because it was in the summer. So I was like, I have to come back.
Yeah, so, you do. You know, it's so funny that you mentioned you just got engaged because I was just looking at your birth chart before our call. I like to see people's sun, moon, and rising to get a feel for who I'm talking to. And I saw on current transits on your chart that Jupiter, planet of luck, abundance, love, was going over your descendant line, which is the line of marriage. So I thought, wow, I wonder if he's recently engaged or getting married or having a child, because this is all things that Jupiter brings when he goes over the descendant line. So to hear you just got engaged, congratulations.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And that's fascinating. I only know a little bit about astrology. So that's really fascinating that it just lines up so much, which I'm not surprised, but still amazed.
Yeah. And you and me, I knew we'd have a good conversation because we are both Sagittarius, December babies.
When's your birthday?
December 6th.
Okay. Yeah. Very close.
Yeah. Awesome. And you have a Leo moon, which means your inner world is fiery, but you're also very creative when you're confident, when you're in the right situation. Yeah.
Nice.
And then you've got the Virgo rising. So this is the sign, this is the character you play when you're on an interview with someone you're just meeting, when you're at work, when you're on stage, you really step into your Virgo rising. So you're less like rock on Sagittarius and you're more very composed, scientific. So to speak, that's very Virgo.
Spot on.
So you just got engaged. Welcome to the world of marriage.
Thank you. Are you married?
I have a story of being engaged at 21, just a little baby, and then married all my 20s. And then my first Saturn return at age 29, I got divorced. So yeah, and now I'm in a wonderful new partnership. So I'm just learning the lay of the land when it comes to relationships and this human experience.
Yeah. Wow. Yes. Well, congratulations on that, I would say. Like, even though, you know, a divorce, some people would say, it's like, oh, Mike, I'm so sorry, but you learn.
Thank you. And on the podcast, this is actually how Lightworkers Lounge is on the map, went viral.
Oh, wow.
Back in 2018, when I got my divorce, I signed the papers, left the courthouse, went to an Airbnb and just locked myself away. And I thought, wow, my podcast was just on spiritual topics, like, you know, keeping it basic, but I thought this just has to pour out of me. I can't continue to talk about repeating numbers with this looming feeling in my chest. So locked myself away, hit record, and just talked like an open diary about what it's like to go through a divorce when you never thought you would. And that went viral, like overnight viral. And now here we are.
That's amazing. Yeah. And that's courage. Really, I really honor you for that, because that's not easy. But I think it's so important, though, like in this, like the spiritual space, like I think shadow work is like that whole term is becoming more and more, or people are becoming more and more aware of that, which is, it's so necessary and like not looked at or not talked about, not taught on, like, because it's not flashy or sparkly and manifestation or anything like that. It's like the deep, dark stuff. Like, it's not easy.
I know. I dream of the day that you go to see a doctor, an MD, which is a perfect segue into your story. And they say, hey, okay, I'm thinking you need to do a little bit of shadow work. Let me refer you to this energetic healer. Let's try this. If you still have symptoms, come back and we'll really look at the whole physical body.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep. 100%. That's honestly why I left, because it was not holistic. I really saw that. That was like I was 21. When I left, but it was not like, it was not aligning with me. And I wasn't even into the spiritual space then. Like, I wasn't even like, I wouldn't even consider I had like a spiritual awakening yet, but I was starting to become aware as like, I don't want to do this at all. So,
yeah. So for those listening, you started off going to med school, or was it pharmacy school?
Pharmacy, but it's actually a doctorate. Like 30, 40 years ago, you only needed a 4-year degree, but now I forget when it switched, but now you need a doctorate to practice pharmacy because of there's so many medications. So,
I did not know that. You need a full-blown doc. Would you be called a doctor of pharmaceuticals?
Yes, exactly. Doctor of pharmacy. Yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you work when you get a doctorate of pharmacy?
So it could be in many different places, but the person you see behind the counter at a Rite Aid pharmacy or a CVS pharmacy.
That's a doctor?
They're doctors.
Whoa, yep. I didn't know that.
It's a bit different than a doctorate, say like an MD, because it's a doctorate in pharmaceuticals, like you said, like in pharmacy. So there's literally hundreds of medications that you have to know. And that's where the doctorate comes in. Like, because if, like I said, 30 plus years ago, there weren't that many medications on the market. And so you didn't need to know that much. So technically it was a 4-year degree.
Right. And you got to know like how they all interact with each other too. Like yep. side effects of this one. And then how does that one play with that one in the body? It could get yep. dangerous.
Yes.
So you were exactly. like, so do you have a master's degree in biology or when did you stop?
I stopped after 4 years. And so I got a 4-year degree. Okay. I don't have a doctorate. It's a bachelor's of science in pharmaceutical and healthcare studies, which in the real world, it really has no value because there's not really any careers that you can go off of that 4-year degree because it was in transit, like on the way to getting a doctorate in pharmacy. So I stopped after 4 years and just because like my heart was just not in it at all.
Yeah. What happened? Like, did you just go to class one day and sit there and say, I can't freaking do this. I'm done. Walk out. What was the story? Was there one moment?
Yeah. So it was a combination of both. It was many, many days and weeks of going to class and being like, this is not for me. I don't want to do this. Tons of conversations with my friends and family of what my path would be in life if I don't continue. And everyone around me was saying, no, just continue. Like, just finish your doctorate, get your degree. You'll have a secure job, then you can figure out what you really want to do with your life. Then you can find out what you can do to be happy. And that just didn't line up with me. It's like, why should I postpone my happiness? And this is not about instant gratification, but really aligning with what I would love. And it just didn't make sense to me to continue, but it was so logical to stay. And so that's why I was in such turmoil. And honestly, it was the first time I really felt like I got into a depression. And it was circumstantial, I think, at that time, because my heart and soul wasn't in the path that I was, dedicated to after 3.5 years. But there was a moment that was my decision moment, and it was the day I received my test scores back from my last final. I remember this day very clearly. It was May 2nd, 2014, and I went into a pharmacy lab to get our test scores back. I was surrounded by 40 of my other classmates. My teacher was handing out the test scores and it was on this little slip of paper. And I opened up my slip of paper and I discovered I failed a required pharmacy course to continue on to get my doctorate.
Oh. Just
hard stop. And I just felt like my heart just dropped into my stomach. And I felt first off ashamed because I was a straight A and B student up until that point. And then here I am failing a class. Like the thoughts started to go, it was like, what are my parents going to think? Like, they're going to be mad at me. What are my friends going to think that now I'm going to be held back? Like, I'm going to miss out on actually like connecting with them now if I move forward. And then on top of that, the amount of money that would take to continue on in that path and time, because I was in an accelerated program where it took 6 years to get your doctorate, not 8, because usually it's like 4 years of undergrad, 4 years of the doctorate. So 6 years in total. So I only had 2 more years if I continued, but since I failed and had to retake that entire year, it would be 3 more years. Yeah.
And money's so expensive.
Yep. Yep.
I can only imagine how much your books must have cost.
I mean, thousands. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, just incredible. So all of that kind of boiled up. And then the only thing I thought to do was like, all right, I need to go to my professor and ask, is there any extra credit that I can have? Because if anyone listening we did this in school where you literally calculate the amount of points you need to pass, the test.
This is the most vertical rising thing I've ever heard.
So yes. That was me. I literally knew to the decimal point of what I needed. And I was 0.06 away, 0.06 points away, that close.
Oh my gosh.
Literally just a rounding error. Like, if they rounded up. And so I asked, like, is there any extra credit I can have? And the straight answer was no, I'm sorry. Like, it was that strict. So I had no choice, either stay that extra year, more money, more time, or I leave. And it was within the next couple of hours that I decided, like, I'm done. Like, and I left.
Oh, those are the moments where it's so hard to believe in that quote that rejection is projection in the right direction. After all the money and the time and the investment. And like you said, this isn't just a degree that, well, I can just stop getting my doctorate and use my bachelor's degree. No, you have to run the whole gamut. Mm-hmm. Oh, I get truth bumps for you. I can only imagine the anxiety, the depression of, wow, all these student loans, all of this money, all this time, and what? Mm-hmm. And so when you were going through medical school, were you spiritual at all? Did you have a spiritual practice at all? Or were you very by the book numbers, only believe in things I can see and measure?
Mostly that. I did start to get a little bit into the spiritual world, but I didn't even call myself spiritual. Like the only thing I was doing was meditating about once a week for like 10 minutes. And it was a guided meditation on YouTube about the seven chakras. Like it worked.
Whatever
it helped
works.
Me. Yeah, exactly. Like it got me started. And that all transpired from a very like masculine driven desire to sculpt my body through a program called P90X.
Oh and yeah. Part of that.
The creator, Tony Horton, he had like once a week, it was a yoga class and he talked about meditation, but never actually like in that program, it's not included. So that's like what got my curiosity going about like spirituality.
Wow. Was your family spiritual growing up? Were they religious? Anything?
No, my parents, I mean, I was raised Catholic, but we were never like super devout Catholics. So like once I was like of age, like 18, like they were like, you don't have to go to church if you don't want to. And so I stopped going, like I was never really into it. And so, but then they were also not spiritual. Like they didn't have a practice of meditating or really praying or anything like that. It was much by like dogma.
Yeah. You know, we Sagittarians, we rule philosophy. We love to study. We are the lifelong students. We are not one to say, well, I know, so my way is the right way. Your Leo Moon might get like that sometimes. But we love to study Buddhism, Catholic, Christianity, spirituality. We are so intrigued by all of these things. Yep. Is that you?
Yeah, 100%. That's exactly where I went after that. Like, because I got interested in yoga over the next few months, like after I left pharmacy school.
What did you do? You left that exam or getting your exam score and said, walked out of the building like, wow, that must have felt scary, but also very relieving. Like, wow, that whisper that turned into a roar. I'm being forced. The universe said, we've been trying. Okay, if he's not listening.
Exactly. No, 100%. And I think it's definitely that. And I, in my own like logical mind, it's like, well, I created that, you know, because I was in that space of not being passionate about this anymore, being disillusioned with like, I don't want to do this anymore. So naturally my interest and therefore my study, like it went down and then there was that, you know, hard knock from the universe. So got me on my path. But what really changed my life was literally that day. The reason why I remember that day is May 2nd is because that day, and I still have my notes from this, I got invited to like a free webinar with a woman named Mary Morrissey, who has been helping people transform their lives for over 40 plus years. And so she was offering this webinar, it was called The Dream Builder. I got interested, went to that. And I still have my notes from that. That's why I know the date. And she was offering like a 3-month coaching program online. It was like a self-study thing. And so I signed up for that and learned like a whole system of ultimately working with the laws of the universe, which is like really what started me on this spiritual path.
Same day.
Yep.
Isn't that funny how the universe works? Mm-hmm. People are always, that's why I love the quote, leap and the net will appear, or just take the leap and doors that you can't even see are there waiting for you to just unlock them. And then they're going to fly open.
Yep, exactly. My quote that I think of with that is when the student is ready, the teacher appears.
Oh, and then when the student is really ready, the teacher disappears.
Yes. Yes.
Ah, that's just what 1,000%. A guest last week said. I can't take credit for that.
Nice. That's awesome. Yeah.
Right? 100%. Whoa. And so you took that. And then what happened? How did you get to where you are today?
I mean, that's a journey of some years, but it was a zigzag road, which I feel like is just everyone's path in life, right?
Yeah.
Like if you think it's straight, then you're deluding yourself. Like it's never straight. And if it's straight on your path, then there's something wrong, actually, which is quite a paradox, right? Mm-hmm. But for me, I first got interested in yoga, as I said, and that's what got me more on the spiritual path, but also got me into desiring to teach and support people. And so it was within like a month or two after I graduated with that 4-year degree and stopped going for that doctorate that I went to my first in-person yoga class, which I had never taken a yoga class before. You've
never taken a yoga, not even on campus. College campuses always offer that. Oh my gosh.
Which actually
so it wasn't even on your radar.
No, like it was only on my radar because of P90X. I was working out. And then once a week was that yoga class. It was the same thing every time because it was just on a CD. But then I finally went to the first yoga class, which actually was at my, on my college campus. And I loved the teacher. And it really inspired me. And so I asked her, I was like, how do you become a yoga instructor? It was like, and she said, oh, there's teacher trainings all around the world. And, you know, you can just sign up. And so a month later, I signed up for my first teacher training. And that's what really got me on the path of this kind of work. Like I'm a coach now, but it's ultimately in supporting people in bettering themselves. Like that's the overarching view of it. So that got me going.
I love that. And I love that you are in this field because it's quite rare, as I'm sure you've run into, to have men be yoga instructors, to have men be a spiritual life coach. Yep. I feel bad. I think the numbers are like 82% of my listeners are women and then the rest are men. And I'm like, how can I get this more balanced? Why aren't men, I mean, from your perspective as a masculine, why aren't men into this stuff as much as women?
It's not that they're not into it. They're just not open for it yet. I had to do a lot of cracking open of my heart to really step into this space, which for the feminine, because it's not about, you know, male or female, right? It's either feminine, masculine, like everyone has their own dynamic with that. But the feminine is much more open. It's easier to open because in this space, like spirituality deals with the heart. And there's not many men that have their heart open. And because over, I think it's not only just society, but then also generational, like programming that for the masculine, it's like, just hold your heart to your chest. Like it's keep your cards close. Like don't show your emotions. Yeah. So that I believe is the reason which is changing though. It really is.
I was just talking to my partner, Jordan, about this because whenever I'm going through something really rough, I'll talk to him, but I have a huge group of women who I go and tell the same story to over and over. And he's like, I don't talk to anybody, maybe you, but other than that, I just go on a hike and I process it by myself. So he watches me talk to dozens of women and he's like, should I have like a group of men that I talk to? And I was like, I think that would be a beautiful thing, but how, like you said, like how do I find that? Because most men don't go talk and vent. Yep. There's the word vent, like women do.
Yeah, I mean it's definitely different because I have men in my life that I speak with that I support and support me, like my
emotionally support
100%. Yeah.
How did you find them?
Well, it actually goes along with just my work in the world. It's a colleague of mine that I'm a partner in believing with, is what we call it. Oh. And he's a partner in believing for me. So we play that role for each other. And so we meet weekly, actually. It's every Monday that we meet. Then we have a Zoom meeting. He lives in New Zealand. And so it's all the way across the world. He's technically in the future on Tuesday when I'm meeting with him on Monday. but yeah, that transpired from leaning into this space of my work and being around, I mean, events, like workshops, programs, like coaching programs, I still invest in myself. Like I meet other men who are leaning into this space. And then that's where those relationships are built.
Yeah, especially with relationships, there's a key word. I feel like us women have a whole community of women to run to and say, oh, I'm feeling this, I'm growing through this, I'm triggered by this, but men don't. Mm-hmm. They really don't. Like, I don't know any guy that can call up another guy and say, hey, me and my girl are fighting, I think I messed up. I say, they don't have that. And if they do, the other man that they're talking to might not even know what to say. Yeah. I feel so bad. And I love your idea of meeting someone every Monday. You know, Jordan and I are co-parenting with his ex-spouse. And so that's a whole new beast of just needing a lot of emotional support. And I've thought of like getting a support group at our house, like every Monday evening of people who are also co-parenting to just talk. To just say, hey guys, what's up? Here's a smoothie. Let's just talk about, even if it's a good week and co-parenting is going lovely, let's talk about that. All the things. Yeah. So that's what I hope to do in the future. And I hope there's a lot of men.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's beautiful. And I think it's important for any human being. And also like if we're going to speak about masculine, feminine dynamics, sometimes the masculine is more of like, okay, I just need to do something. Like go for that hike. Yes. As you said, like sometimes that is the answer. It's not always the talking it out. But it does help for sure.
That's true, because men are creatures of, well, I need to just move my body. Women definitely like to sulk on things a lot more and just talk, mm-hmm. whereas men are like, problem, fix, done.
Exactly.
Women are like, feel, get pissed, get happy, get pissed.
Yep. It's the whole wave of emotions, which...
That's true.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Would you say that most of your clients are men or women?
Funny enough, women. It's
of
honestly,
course, it's always women. Yeah.
It's honestly very, very similar to the terms of the percentages that you shared with your listeners. Mm-hmm. So my podcast with my brother, we it's about 60 to 70%, probably more towards the 70% women. And then same thing with my clients, it's like 80% women.
Wow. And of course, like we just said, it's because they're more open to it. Do you ever talk about ways to market more towards men or try and attract more men to work with you?
So interestingly enough, I don't focus on whether they're a male or female.
Right.
It's more of like where they are in their journey of life. That's mm-hmm. where my focus is in terms of supporting people. Because I find yeah. that, and it's not that it's, I couldn't, right? Like to market to more men, but in terms of what my desire is not to focus on terms of masculine or male or female. Mm-hmm. And I know some people's work are like, there are men's circles and healing groups. Like it's specifically for men, which is amazing. And go figure, my colleague, his name is Wayne. He lives in New Zealand. He actually focuses on men and wanting to support men. So like, it just depends. And I think that's also because for me, I'm not just like so masculine driven like most men. Yeah. Is that I have an interesting balance. Like I have a lot of feminine energy that I've learned to cultivate, work with, and understand that that's just a part of me. It's just who I am. So.
Yeah. That's interesting. And I find, you know, a lot of women are in their masculine just because of our society and then their own generational upbringings. So they probably connect more with a masculine coach because they want that type of energy to kind of say, hey, this is what you need to do. Let's go do it. Let's come up with a game plan. Whereas again, women, feminines like myself, let's talk, let's feel, let's have a more gentle approach.
Exactly. Which funny, you just reminded me of a client of mine who just enrolled. She came to me for business coaching because I'm like a spiritual life and business coach. Like I'm leaning more towards like supporting people in business. Although funny enough is like, we talk mostly about like life because when
that's
you resolve
the foundation
things,
of it.
Exactly. Yeah. Like you cannot build a business on the foundation of something you don't understand and it's yourself, it's your life. Mm-hmm. But so she came to me and I know directly, it's like, I'm supporting her to move out of actually the thinking that she needs to be masculine to have success in her business, because we need to thrive in what kind of dynamic that we have within. To think that we have to be more masculine just because of business is not true at all. And so, yeah, it's just that work, which is fascinating. It's like, it's unique to everyone. So,
yeah. Oh, you are speaking my language. I'm currently healing stage 3 adrenal fatigue because I have programmed, I was raised by a single mom on welfare. And so I have this lack mentality just ingrained into every cell in my body. So I've been running Lightworkers Lounge 100% solo by myself, doing everything and adding more without hiring help. And it ran me to the ground, to adrenal fatigue, to where I can no longer exercise or get my heart rate up without going into shock.
Wow.
So I'm currently healing that. And that's from just being in the masculine too much. And like we were saying, it carries over into every area of life. I was too masculine in my relationships, which was a huge reason for the failure of my first marriage. Too masculine at work, too masculine with my family. With myself.
Yeah.
You gotta balance the energies, huh?
Yeah. The word I've learned, and it comes from a book which may not resonate with the women listening or yourself, but it's called The Way of the Superior Man by David Data. And it's the first book that I ever read in terms of masculine feminine dynamics. And you can learn something even if you're feminine or a female from that book, because he does talk about the dynamic. And the word that he uses that really resonates with me is dominant, is where is your dominant energy? And the word, when I'm talking about dominant energy, I'm talking about just what is more in you than the other? Because we all have a certain like balance. So for me, like I there's no way of 100% knowing, right? But I feel like my energy is 60 to 65% masculine and then 40 or 35% feminine. But for most people, it's an 80-20 or a 90-10.
I can see that. I think people. I was definitely 80-20, pushing 90-10 masculine.
Yeah. Yeah. But your dominant, mostly like what feels most like best to you is probably to be more in your feminine, like to have more of that dominant, and that so as you much. Balance that,
yeah,
life goes so much more easily.
I had Jake Woodard on the show. He's like a masculine feminine specialist. And he was like, this was 2 years ago before I was diagnosed with anything. And he was like, you need to text your partner, I miss you, randomly throughout the day. And I was like, oh no, why would I do that? That's like, that's for pussies. Like, no.
Yeah.
That was just my masculine energy because my mom's a very masculine person. Like that was just me saying, protecting myself, protecting my feminine from feeling and letting herself fall into this masculine man and feeling like I won't be abandoned or betrayed or lied to. It's a process. This is why I love hearing about people getting engaged and entering into the realm of marriage, because it's beautiful. My sun sign on my birth chart's in the seventh house of marriage. So that's a theme of my life is partnerships.
Nice.
How do you feel about being engaged and getting married soon? Are you nervous? What are you most looking forward to?
I am definitely nervous. Like I was shaking when I was, I wrote,
I watched your video.
Yeah. Thanks. Yeah. Like that's a stop motion video, but the full video, like you can see my hand was shaking as I was reading this poem to my now fiance.
Why were you nervous? Why? I'm sure you guys look like your best friends. So
yeah. I mean, we've been together for over 3 years now and we definitely are best friends, but I think it's just a nerves of like something new, like
big.
Yeah. And when I was 13, 14 years old, I can remember this very clearly that my intention was to get married. Like I honestly was never a player, like never thought of like anything besides marriage, like when it came to relationships. So like even at a young age, like I remember my first relationship, which is probably why, and many relationships is why I fell apart, is because my thought was, this is the one. And so like that intention was like thrown on the other person and it just wasn't it. And so, but anyway, so I think that's where the nerves come from as well. It's like, I've been waiting for this moment for over a decade.
How did you know she was the one? When did you know like, oh yeah, this is the one and I'm ready to buy a ring?
Yeah, that's a really good question. Because my tendency when we first met was like, oh my God, this is the one. But funny enough is like, I turned that off and was like, no, like I became aware as that was a problem in my way I showed up in my relationship. So I calmed that. It was like, it's okay. Like I to myself, I was speaking to myself in a way of like, honestly, like reparenting is like, I know you're looking for the one, but just enjoy the process. And then over time, I think it was within, I don't know, first 4 or 5 months of us dating that we got to the place of like really feeling like we were ready to say, I love you. And so once I got to that point, it's like, oh my God, wait a minute. Like, is this actually the one? Like then allowed that to come back. But it's funny. It's hard to actually put to words, right?
Yeah.
Like, cause love is something that is beyond language that can really describe. So it's more of just a right fit, right? Like, I don't know how I can describe it other
than that.
Like,
it's comfortable. It's easy. You know, again, I openly talk about this on the podcast, but I knew from day one, from the moment my ex-husband proposed to me, I want, you know, we had this running joke that I almost said no, but when he proposed, my head wanted to say, yes, he's a good looking guy. He's very kind. We don't fight. Like, duh, why would you not say yes? But my heart and my gut, my intuition were screaming, no. And so there was that block, right in the neck where the thyroid is. I have a thyroid disorder right there. And so I couldn't speak. I wanted to say yes, but I was like, And so he's like, you almost said no. What?
Wow. Funny. Thank you for saying that. Cause that actually just reminds me of, cause it's a challenging question you asked. It's like, how did you know? But if that reminded me, the day we met, it was on May 5th, of 2018.
So what in that Virgo memory?
I'm very particular with numbers. And so
there it is.
So we met on May 5th. So Cinco de Mayo, she's actually 100% Mexican, go figure. And
my partner's Mexican too.
Oh, nice. That's awesome. But that first night we met, we shared a kiss and that like at the end of the night and that once we completed that one kiss, literally the word that came to my mind was home. And it blew my mind.
Truth bumps.
Yeah. But again, then I had to like go through that process of like, wait, like, okay, like you've done this in the past where you thought like it's the one. And like, it's just, I think the overbearing energy that I just like calmed and let go and just not allow that to drive my relationship, which it came back to then after some months is like, oh my God, this actually might be the one, and allowed that to be there. So
yeah. That's, what is it? I think it's, it might be a Buddhist quote that says, if you meet someone and your hands shake and your heart's racing, that that's actually not the one. That's like a stress response that we mistake as chemistry. Yeah. But if you are calm and it feels like a friend and it feels like home, that's actually a very good sign that you found the one.
Yeah. 100%. Wow.
Or are your parents married? Did they get a divorce? Yeah. Like,
no, they're married. They've been together for, I think, close to 30 years, maybe over 30.
Wow. Do you ever ask them what their secret sauce is?
Not recently, but I feel like I have in the past, which definitely is a conversation, because my partner and I got engaged last weekend. So not this past weekend, but the weekend before. So July 24th. So it's been only a little while. And so I haven't had that many more conversations with my parents, but that will be a question for sure.
Yeah. So that's beautiful. You know, it's funny. We're having this conversation. Just last week, I made a post on my Instagram story saying, I have never, unfortunately, been around a long-term relationship. My mom was never in one. I didn't have aunts or uncles that I was immediately around to witness long-term relationships. So I remember going to therapy when I was married and saying, I don't know what I'm doing. Am I supposed to feel this? Am I supposed to do that? I've never seen this before. So I was asking people, are your parents married? Do you know grandparents? Anybody who's been married like decades? And I had a few really beautiful stories. And I would say that the common denominator for long-term relationships is to play, act like children, laugh, dance, be affectionate. One person said, kiss for 20 seconds when you're mad and see if you can still be mad after that.
That's awesome.
I loved it. I loved it.
And on the topic of that conversation, it just reminds me of a book that I have that I still have not read, but it's written by one of my mentors. His name is Matt Boggs. He, in his 20s, wrote a best-selling book on marriage and with his best friend. Yeah, in his 20s. And he wasn't married. He wasn't even, he was a bachelor. He was single, which was the kind of crazy thought. It was like, wait, who is he to write this? But him and his friend went on a whole like United States road trip to interview the world, like America's greatest marriages.
What's this called?
It's called Project Everlasting.
Project Everlasting.
Yeah. It was back in, I think it was 2000s or 2000. Yeah, no, it had to be the 2000s. Because it was some time ago, but.
They should have made a documentary out of that.
I think they did.
They did? It sounds really familiar.
Oh, really?
I thought it was a movie.
Yeah, it's a documentary.
I'm gonna totally Google this after. Wow. Yeah. So they just go around and ask couples who have been married decades, like, what's your secret?
Exactly. And I think some of the things you shared is definitely like part of that.
Play. It's play. It's not losing your sense of fun, not taking life so seriously.
Yeah.
And I love what you were saying earlier, how you would stop and look at your 13, 14-year-old self and say, hey, you're going to get married someday. I promise. Just calm down. That's something I've just learned in the last 2 weeks, to look at my 5-year-old self and say, hey, you're not going to be abandoned. It's okay to start a new family. Yeah. Just talk. It's literally look to your side and see your little self. And talk to them, whether it's out loud or in your head. Mm-hmm. Talk to them. Act like you're carrying them around with you everywhere you go. And it's been life-changing.
It is. It's now, I'm really thrilled to see that that's becoming more and more, I don't know if you'd say mainstream yet, but people are becoming more aware. It works. I mean, the term for it is reparenting, but it's inner child work. That's another name for it. But it works if you work it. It really does.
It really does. Yes. Yeah. I had an intuitive tell me, in your house, in a room, set up 3 chairs, one for you, one empty, and another one empty. Pretend your 5-year-old self is sitting in one chair and your spirit guide sitting in the other, and have a conversation about how to integrate everyone's experience into the present moment.
That's beautiful.
Phenomenal. Yeah. Works wonders, right? And then some of our egos will say, yeah, I'm going to look like a nut. But I'm telling you, you just do it. Who cares? Yep. 100%. On some rainy day when you're stuck inside, just do it and see what happens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If you feel crazy in doing that, I've done that many times in my life, not specifically with the chairs like set apart. Mm-hmm. I really like that idea because it holds that energy, but I've had those kind of conversations in space where it's with my inner child or different versions of myself and my spirit guides. And like, it can seem crazy, but there's a great story about Henry Ford, who was mentored or was good friends with Andrew Carnegie and just many powerful people back in the early 1900s. He would have that. he would have like, he would call his, and Napoleon Hill is the other one. Mm-hmm. I think it was Napoleon Hill who wrote about this, but would say that Andrew Carnegie, as well as Henry Ford and others would do this as well, is they would have imaginal conversations with people that they've respected, not just from their present, but history's past, like hundreds of years ago. Like bringing people like literally just like Stoics and people from like Marcus Aurelius, like just literally imagine them and who they would be. And Ralph Waldo Emerson is another one he would bring in his conversations and like have them sit at a table and give them information. Like to me, like just those examples is like, okay, like it can seem kind of crazy, but if some really powerful people in the world have created some massive change in the world, like have done this, like, okay, I think I might be in good company.
Right. And what is time? There's so many dimensions. People think that it stops at 5D. Oh my gosh. It goes to 5,000 million D, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. 100%.
Oh, so in your podcast, Science and Spirituality, do you talk, like, what do you guys talk about? What are your, some of your subjects? Do you integrate like the right brain with the left brain? And
yes, 1,000%. That's a big part that my brother plays because he's a doctorate of acupuncture, which is actually a doctorate. Also cool. Another one. And he recently just got that doctorate in the last year.
Good on
him. He's more of like the science side, even though funny is like, I bring some science into it with my background, but I'm more of the spirituality side of it. So we absolutely talk about like brain coherence and heart coherence with the brain, like the left and right brain connecting with the heart, deep breathing to regulate the nervous system. Like it's very of a much of a holistic approach, like psychological approach. But then I also bring in the spirituality with that, like talking about different dimensions. Like I had just recently had my spiritual teacher on to speak about the fifth dimension, how it can work with the quantum field. So it's mm-hmm. kind of bridging like with science, but then the quantum field is really talking about spirituality and like how we can connect through our own spiritual nature, our light body, to then have different results in our life by means of working with our human system, our nervous system, to then bring in more of that light. So,
Gosh, I just love the idea of science and spiritual. I'm a Sagittarius. Mm-hmm. I love a good debate,
yep.
But it's just, you know, it's funny because my brother is a software engineer, very much science numbers by the book. He thinks that I rub a crystal ball for a living. So against astrology, spirituality. So that it was another allure and draw to you was, oh my gosh, my brother can listen to this. And he wants data to prove spirituality, but some things you just can't prove, but we're getting pretty darn close.
Yeah. 100%. Like there are things I see that science is pointing a way where spirituality already is. That's the way I see it. Like, in fact, would you be open to hearing a quick story? It's an old teaching story.
Yes.
So there's a story about the scientist that, and this scientist you can see represent all scientists in the world. So the scientists are climbing the mountain of knowledge. So test by test, study by study, research paper by research paper, they're gaining ground, making steps up this mountain of knowledge. And then finally, they're getting to the top. They reach the top and over the edge, they see all of the spiritual teachers of the past, the gurus, the sages of old. And they're all waiting there saying, welcome, you finally made it.
It's about time. We've been checking our watches, waiting on the cookies so long to come home.
Exactly. So it's like, it's funny to me how like that's all coming together, which is why my brother and I started this podcast, because we started to see the research and it's like, wait a minute, this is already known. It's now just being pointed to as here's the quote unquote proof.
Yeah, exactly. Have you seen the Pixar movie Soul?
Oh, absolutely. It's phenomenal.
We just had a guest on the show who worked on that team of creating that movie. I had no idea. Talk about science and spirituality. They had in their boardroom, psychics on one side of the table, intuitives and psychics, and then doctors, and then psychologists who have studied like doulas, death doulas. They literally had a room of the polar opposites.
Oh my gosh.
Not believing in each other, but they had them come together to create that movie.
Wow. I just got, you call them truth bumps. I got truth those bumps. Chills. Like I call them body activations. Like it's like a lighting up of my cells. Like, oh, that's so good. I had no idea about that.
I get those body activations whenever I go to a concert, Red Rocks Amphitheater in Denver. Mm. Oh, gosh.
Love it. Yes. Oh. It's phenomenal.
Body activations. I love that.
Mm.
truth bombs, because you're feeling what you're feeling, what you're seeing or hearing is truth to your soul. Yes. So why do you call it body activations?
I call it body activations because that's more of the science side of it, right? It's like what's happening in our bodies when that's going on. I really believe it's our genes are changing because this is epigenetics now.
Yep.
That by means of it's usually environment, but up until now, it's only been environment. But now with science, it's now becoming more and more aware that our thoughts worked with our emotions, which is embodied. It moves our cells in a different way, which changes the gene expressions of our DNA to have a different experience. And so to me, like when I feel it within my body, like all my cells lighting up, sometimes it's different parts of my body. Like usually it starts in my spine and then spreads out to my limbs. But it's in some ways, like I really feel, and this is just my interpretation of it. It could be right or wrong or whatever, but that's my feeling. It's like, it's an activation of my cells to become different through that truth.
Ooh, mic drop. That is so said on August 4th at 4:44.
Nice. That's awesome.
Whoa, I've noticed. I love it on your Instagram. You have a lot of memes about repeating numbers. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, there's no way I can picture him in pharmaceutical school talking about 11:11 and 2:22. How did you get there?
Yeah. Well, it's like I said, years of journey. To specifically speak to that, like the numbers, like why?
Yeah. How do you scientifically explain that? Because we have so many people who say, I saw 11:11 on the oven, but it's just coincidence. It's just.
Sure. I mean, which is funny. There's a nuance there. It could be coincidence, but only if you're actively looking for it. It's like, oh, I need to see that number. It's like, if you're waiting for 20 minutes for that 11:11. Come on now. Like,
don't text him, but hold off on the text. Send it at 11:11 so he thinks I'm exactly.
Yeah, that's not it. But so for me, with like this, the science behind it, I forget when I had this awareness, but it was sometime after a year or two of leaving pharmacy school and getting into more spirituality that, you know, thinking about the universe, it's made up of just protons, neutrons, and electrons. That's the building blocks of matter. And literally every single atom that we're aware of, at least, because there's probably plenty more that we're not aware of yet, because we live in an infinite universe, that there's 116, 118, something like that, because there's more being created and by humans. But they're all just different combinations of those protons, neutrons, and electrons. It's all the same, protons, neutrons, and electrons. It's no different. And so it's just different combinations. The difference between a hydrogen atom and a helium atom is literally just one number, is a difference in one proton or one neutron or one electron. So when we're thinking about that, I think of it as like a holographic universe. There's actually research on that as well. If we're living in a holographic universe that is made up of all these just different bits of matter that are just numbers, then when we see repeated numbers, it's, to me, it's like a signal to our consciousness that is embodied in this human structure that is made up of those atoms that are just numbers. It's a signal to us, is like, hey, pay attention to, in some way, some degree. That's my science to it.
I absolutely love that. I'm going to like cut this part and just send it to my brother and say, hey, if you're going to listen to anything I do, just make it this 1 minute clip.
Nice. Awesome.
Yes. Wow, I so believe in that. And then the different meetings, as I'm sure you know, repeating ones is new beginnings. 555, changes are ahead. 888, abundance. I personally love seeing 666 because that's my way of my spirit guide saying, hey, clean your shit up. Stop acting in your ego. Let's bring balance to your emotions. I like it.
Beautiful. Thank you for sharing that. That's actually one of the repeating numbers. I'm like, I don't know if I have a full meaning to it yet, but bring that balance. Lands. That balance. Really does land. For sure.
Just think of the word balance. Whenever you see repeating sixes, say, okay, where am I not balanced? I guarantee you'll find something. You're either worrying too much about money, worrying too much about your career, about your relationship.
Yep.
I just love it because that's the universe like flicking me on the side of the head saying, wake up, you're better than this. Come on.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, and another one, because I've got that question a lot. It's like, well, what are the repeating numbers meaning? Because I feel like if you just Google any of these numbers, you can find like 100 different meanings.
Yes.
But to me, like the energy of each number, like you got it. To me, like you got it spot on. That's my belief in terms of say like ones, because ones are beginnings. Like it's the number one. It's like the
first number.
Makes me think of SpongeBob. He was number one. Whatever that guy's name was in that episode. But like nines as well. It's like that's completions or endings. Yep. like because it's the last number and then the cycle repeats. So
yeah,
those kind of meetings, like in abundance is eights. Yeah, 100%.
777, spiritual growth.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh yeah. It was beautiful. After I got my divorce and left the courthouse on my way to that Airbnb, I saw 777s like you wouldn't believe. And then two rainbows and hummingbirds. Wow. Oh, nice. We could have a whole episode on the spiritual meaning of animals.
Mm, yes.
Right?
For me, crows are my animal, which is odd because they're often a meaning of death. But to me, like they're the darkness of their feathers is a signal of the, how to put it, the absolute, the all. Because it's everything together is because the color black is a little all colors put together.
Yeah.
Everything together. So to me, it's like that's the signal of just like honestly, God, spirit, source being with
everything.
Me. Mm-hmm.
Wow. Did you have any synchronicities around like leading up to your engagement?
Yes. In fact, actually I had this, I bless this guy's this old man. He didn't know, but he was honestly a guide for us. So we went to, a place in Colorado in the mountains called, it was north of Dillon, Colorado, which is where a lot of people go skiing. I forget the exact place. It's just eluding my mind right now. But anyway, we went for a hike near our campground. And on our hike, we didn't really know where we were going. Like it was this loop, but we'd never been there before. And the app that we had, which was it was called All Trails.
I love that app. I use it every day.
Nice. It said that there was a loop, but we couldn't find it. But it was like maybe 15 minutes into our hike that there's this couple that they must have been in their 60s or 70s. Like they were old. And they were walking past us and the guy just struck up a conversation saying, hey, like if you're going down that way, that is like a great stream. And right by the stream, like there's, you know, you can cross over it if you have good boots for that. And like, it's really beautiful. And you see a lot of wildflowers. Perfect spot to get engaged
if you guys ever thought of that.
Honestly, that's, he could have said that. That's basically what he was saying. I was like, thank you. Like, yeah.
Cause you did. You asked her in front of a stream. It's a beautiful on your Instagram. People need to go check it out.
Yeah. But one other, it just popped in my mind, the other synchronicity after we got engaged, it was like a half an hour later on that hike that we looked up in the clouds and there was literally a smiley face in the clouds.
Did you take a picture?
Yeah, I did. It's in that post.
Oh, I didn't see that one.
Yeah. There's five photos or one video and four photos in that. It's at the very, very end. There's a literal smiley face. I felt like God was like smiling on us. Like, good job. Like,
good job. You found each other.
Yeah. Exactly.
When's her birthday? What's her sign?
Her birthday, she's a Gemini and she is born on June 17th of 1994. Yeah.
Sagittarius and Gemini are sister signs of the zodiac.
Oh, I didn't know that. Yeah,
because they're opposite each other on the zodiac wheel. Mm. So it just means that you guys are yin and yang. You balance each other out. You guys, does she come on your podcast? I can imagine the conversations between you two are just endless.
Honestly, she hasn't yet, but that's actually a really good idea because she is powerful, like really powerful. And it's interesting because she doesn't like do like, say like spiritual work as like we may discuss it or talk about it, but she is like deeply aware, which is just
Is she into what you do? Is she curious at all?
She actually listens to like almost every episode that me and my brother put out, which is awesome.
Oh, like very supportive, that's true of me. Support.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and she's really powerful. She's a nurse. And so a pediatric nurse at that as well. So,
So this is two kind of different worlds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which we connected for sure. Like in my past, like medical history of like being, getting into pharmacy. So that definitely sparked something, but funny story really briefly is like when we first met, the thing that really attracted to me to her most is that I asked a question of everyone hanging out with us. Cause I hung out with a couple of my friends that I knew, but then there was some new people, obviously Vivian being one of them. And I asked the group is like, cause most of them were nurses. And I was like, do you love what you do? And every single person said, like it's a job, like something to that effect, that answer, not Vivian. She said, yes, I love being a nurse. And I was like, okay, we got to talk some more.
That's so truth bumps.
Yeah.
And she's still a pediatric nurse.
Mm-hmm.
That is not an easy job. My mom was a nurse growing up. She did cardiac and she always, I guess in nursing school, they have to do rotations of different, and she couldn't do pediatric. It just broke her heart.
Yeah.
So.
Which honestly, that's where that's some evidence as to you know, how powerful really she is. Like, it's just amazing. Yeah.
Way to go, Vivian. That's her name.
Mm-hmm.
Way to go, Vivian. Oh my goodness. Now, one of your other Instagram posts, because I was stalking you before the show, you have one that says mental activity is autopilot, authentic thought, new ideas. Mm-hmm. I have been dying to ask you what that means. What is an authentic thought?
It's something new you haven't thought of before. In a positive light, I would say.
Like talking to my inner child. I've never thought of that until just last week.
There you go. But it could also, like, that's one version of it, an example. Another example, which is what I was speaking to more in that post, is when we're talking about creating a new result in our life, and that comes from our spiritual growth, obviously. Like, you cannot have something or create something that is not aligned with you internally. Otherwise, there's going to be a mismatch, and eventually that result will go away, like a relationship, health, money, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Yet, when you have true authentic thought, that's going beyond your autopilot or the normal thoughts that you've had up until now that has created all the results you have in your life that you see right now. And it's going to challenge you. It's not going to be comfortable. Like, it's not going to be easy to think that thought because it's completely out of the realm of your comfort zone or your normal. And that's true authentic thought. Does that make sense?
Yeah. We either repeat or repattern. That was another one of your quotes.
Exactly. Yes.
So in order to repattern, you have to really be aware of your thoughts. Is this autopilot or can I stop? I do this in my mind all the time. Even when I'm just riding in the car next to my partner and I want to get triggered about something or ask about something I really don't need to talk about. It's like, stop, stop, stop. Do we want to rethink or repattern? What do we want to do here? And the decision is yours.
Yep. You're
absolutely right. Our entire life. It's hard. I trigger some people on my podcast when I say, everything is your fault. Everything is your fault. All the toxic relationships, all the jobs you hate, being poor, being broke, whatever, it's all your fault. And if you look at it from that lens, you can say, okay, how did I get myself here? If I was just dating a narcissist and they're such an asshole. Okay, well, why did you stay? Everything is our fault. And when we take that radical, like, responsibility for our life, you're unstoppable. It's the 100%. Biggest source of power to change your life. Would you agree?
Yes, 100%. Yeah, which it's a hard pill to swallow, right? It's like, because it's not easy to really
look at your life. Playing victim is fun.
Exactly. Yep, exactly. But when you do, it's like you mentioned, which I think is really important to highlight, is that you gain more your power back. I don't know if you said that exactly, but the words is like about your power. It's like, because we are 100% responsible for everything that's happening in our life. As in, like, that's my version of what you said. Another way of seeing that is that you get to respond to whatever is happening. And if you don't respond in a way that is moving you in a more a direction that you want, then you're creating more of the same or even worse. It's usually worse of what you don't want.
Exactly.
And so it's that responsibility. Once you take that, like, then the real magic begins, because then you create from a new space that there's unending possibility. And then you use that new thought, the actual authentic thinking, to create something new. And that's our birthright. That's why we're here. Like, we're given an imagination for a reason, not to imagine the worst thing possible that can happen, which is the normal pattern, but to really dig in and think, what would I love? And really, like, not what do I think I can have or what I think I can do? Because that's based on conditions. It's like, I've earned $50,000 last year. Maybe I can earn $60,000 this year. That's not true authentic thought. That's going for a goal. I really believe there's a difference between goals and visions and dreams.
Ooh, what would you say is the difference?
A goal is something that you think you can do. It's like you can see how there's a potential of that happening. Like, you can see there's a path, there's a way, there's even a plan. Which is great. Like, it's nothing wrong with goals. I have goals. Like, it's more short term, but my goals come from my vision and my dream, which is beyond what I know how to do.
What's the difference between vision and dream?
Those I use interchangeably.
Okay,
So when I was saying, like, a difference between goal and a vision or dream, rather, is more accurate to what I was meaning.
I think dream could be just a soft pain in your intuition of, this feels good, this gives me truth bumps. And then the vision is just, exactly, it's closing your eyes and see it through your third eye, see it in your dreams at night or just in daydreams. That's the vision. And then the goal is actually bringing it down to the 3D.
Exactly. Yes, action steps and everything. But yeah, I really believe we have to start with the vision and dream, because that's really what inspires us to move forward.
Wow. And you've got the perfect chart for that. The Sagittarius is the visionary, the philosopher. Mm-hmm. Then you've got your Leo moon, which is so creative. Okay, let me add the fire and the creativity to get there. And then the Virgo is, okay, here's the list of exactly the days and the times we're going to take these steps.
Interesting. I'm really thrilled and I'm really grateful you sharing all that because those are some things I did not know. Like obviously I knew.
Have you ever had your birth chart read?
No, never.
Oh, it's life-changing.
Okay, I mean, it's already life-changing for what you shared. It's like, I know these things about me, but did not know it really was like aligning up with all of those things.
To be validated. Yeah. Do you have wild dreams at night?
I do. I'm not often. Like it's here and there. Like for example, literally two nights ago, or no, it was last night that I had a crazy dream. Like I had a dream that I went through a different dimension. I was like, I don't know, 7, 8 years old on a playground and found this purple acorn and ate it. And then that opened up a portal. And I went to a different dimension where I was literally the same person. Everyone else was the same, but I knew I was different.
Like, you just made a Pixar movie in your dreams.
Basically. Yeah.
Yeah. Because your moon is in the 12th house. In astrology, there's 12 houses. Whenever I see someone's moon in the 12th, they have prophetic dreams or just very wild symbolic dreams like that.
Nice.
Now your Sagittarius sun lives in the 4th house. This is Cancer. Do you want to be a father someday?
100%.
Yeah. These are people who are born to be parents, who are born to have partnership. It's the house of Cancer. It's the house of nurturing family. These are the people who love their family, want to take pictures of everything and make old scrapbooks for memories.
Yep. Funny is that that's the reason why I wanted to get married so young. So not that I was like wanting to get young that I or get married that young, but like that I was looking for a partner. It's like, I want to be a father.
Yeah. Oh, you will be. It's written all over your chart. Oh, it totally is. Oh, you have Uranus and Neptune in the 5th house. So you're going to have little prodigy children, different children, very smart. Mm. These are typically parents who raise their children in spirituality, who bring them to a Montessori rather than a public school.
Mm.
Yeah.
Nice.
Does that sound like you?
100%. Yes.
Yes. You know, the last quote I'll finish with the top of the hour is, No one is so evolved that they're exempt from the human experience. You.
Yes.
I love 100%. That quote because I think sometimes a lot of people put people like you and I who have podcasts or spiritual coaches, they put us on a pedestal and I have to bring them back down and remind them, no, I am not immune. I am a human being having a spiritual experience.
Mm-hmm.
It's tough. Do you ever have moments where you're like, what am I doing? How can I be a spiritual life and business coach if I don't even have my shit together?
Literally last week. Like the last...
Before this call, Steph.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm serious. Like I had a call with my spiritual teacher this morning because I was really off yesterday. Not so much yesterday. I was definitely like shifting, but it was two, three days ago. I was dealing with some really dark, like of shadows like that that came up. So I gave myself all of last week off in lieu of knowing that I was going to propose and wanting that space and time. Good. But then the challenge was like, I did not use my time wisely with that time off. And so yeah, I just went into a deep, dark place and just, it was challenging. So like, yeah, like I'm there. Like, and I shared that in one of my coaching calls today. It's like, I'm not immune to that.
Yeah.
And I'm aware of that. And I'm willing, like, I think that's what makes of a good teacher is that they're not saying I have all the answers because I don't.
No, we are standing. I always tell them we're standing side by side with you, not in front of you. And we just have a flashlight of tools that we can help you see your path. But eventually we're going to hand that lantern flashlight over to you and you're going to walk your own path and we're going to stay where we're at.
Yep. 100%.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I have shadow work I have to deal with all the time. It comes and goes, ebbs and flows, you know. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yes. Yeah. Even if we have all the spiritual tools, sometimes we get just trapped in the 3D experience and engulfed.
Yep, exactly. Yes. But the one thing I will say, which it maybe is a good point to really bring this in for a landing, is that those times, as challenging as they are, it really is there for us, which that took a lot to really ground for these last couple of days. But go figure, Vivianne is the one who really helped me to really get that. It's like, because especially being a coach, I had that in my head. It's like, oh, this is probably for my growth. It's like, I just got to find how or why. But then hearing that from her was that validation. It's like, okay, yeah, like
she's your home. She's your big oak tree. I like to use as an analogy. She grounds you.
Yes.
That's definitely beautiful. I'm the same way. Whenever I'm going through some shit storms, I'm like, ah, it's going to make for a really good podcast episode one day.
Yep. Yeah, but we still got to walk
through
it. Man,
does it suck.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, well, Kevin, thanks for coming on the lounge and hanging out with us. I really love to talk to a male in the spiritual world. So we really appreciate you.
You're welcome. And thank you for having me. I was really thrilled when I saw that message and Rachel, my assistant who sent that over, I was like, oh my God, because that was months ago that we reached out. So
I know. Yeah. I see, I'm a one woman show and I'm a Sagittarius. Yeah. So I'd rather just play with my dog outside and do work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there you go.
Be hiking. I was literally on a long hike to a lake on top of a mountain just before this. Mm. That's why I'm a little sunburnt.
Nice. That's awesome.
In true Sagittarius fashion.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Well, Kevin, where can they find you?
So definitely my Instagram where you pulled some of my posts from. That's where I'm most active. So it's at Kevin F. Carton, and Carton spelled like a milk carton. And then my website is www.kevincarton.com.
Your website is awesome. You're the next Tony Robbins.
Thank you.
You're very good at public speaking. You're very good.
Thank you. Thank you. I feel that that's one of my gifts. So I appreciate that.
Totally is. You know, here's my last little astrology tidbit. After your first Saturn return, so this happens between age 28 and 30. So really in your 30s, you kind of leave the Sagittarius behind and you step into the Virgo. So just remember, after age 30, start reading horoscopes and stuff for Virgo.
Okay. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah. Kevin, thank you. I'd love to have you back again.
I'd be happy to. Thank you.
I hope you guys enjoyed this episode with me and Kevin, two Sagittarians, talking about life, science, spirituality. I thought it was a really good episode that can blend the two. The two can exist. If you're listening to this and you're a nurse or you're a doctor and you work in Western Med, but you want to incorporate spirituality into your healing modalities, you can. I know right now it's probably not widely accepted at work. You know, the other day I had a doctor DM me on Instagram saying she thinks she has adrenal fatigue, but she cannot bring that up in her practice or to any of her colleagues because adrenal fatigue is not recognized by Western medicine. So even though you guys hear me talk about it a lot on the show or on my Instagram, it's actually not recognized. I couldn't go to a regular quote unquote doctor and say, I have adrenal fatigue, can you help me? Because they'd be like, what the hell is that? Isn't that wild? Age of Aquarius, you hear about it all the time. This is a time where we're bringing the weird, the woo-woo, the witchcraft, as it's called, into the norm. We're making adrenal fatigue a normal diagnosis. That is just a small example of what this Age of Aquarius is doing for us. So, friendly reminder, if you want to book a birth chart reading with me, lightworkers-lounge.com, and also really look into Applied Astrology School. You can find the link to that in the show notes. It's in the bio of all of our Instagram accounts, and it'll also be having its own header on our website, lightworkers-lounge.com. Everything's in the show notes, printed out for you. Thank you guys for tuning in to another episode of Lightworkers Lounge. I hope you really enjoyed all these interviews I've been doing. It's been so fun and rewarding for me to learn from them and then to share it with you. It's really cool to have these intimate conversations with these people in my home and then bring it out to you. And who knows where you're listening to it? All over the world, so our statistics say. I'll see you guys next week for another episode, sending grounding energy from the mountains. Goodbye.